This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We extend God's richest blessings to you from the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
Jesus came not only to rectify sinful man, but by his example to redeem him by his blood. I believe that's a good statement. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that as we have now entered into the Holy Week, that we may have a clearer understanding why you came. It was necessary for you to come to die for us as a payment for our sin, that we might live eternally. Lord Jesus, bring into our hearts, into our minds, into our whole being, that whole understanding of the gospel. For in so many cases we have drifted away, and at the best only made you a moral example. Forgive us our sins, and grant that this Holy Week may find the Holy Spirit working in our soul to give us a good understanding of your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends in Christ, it is debatable whether or not a person can actually die from a broken heart. But it is certainly true that many, many die with a broken heart, and Jesus Christ was one of them. Last week in my sermon, I used that text where he's looking out over Jerusalem. And there we have those immortal words, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would love to have gathered you under my wings like a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not. In this Holy Week, the first one, he had a broken heart when he stood there in the Garden of Gethsemane and saw one of the 12 coming, placing a kiss on his cheek, and identify him as Jesus. He had a broken heart when he walked through the courtyard and Peter had just finished denying him. And he just looked at him, but the heart was breaking. He had a broken heart when he looked down from the cross, and there most of the disciples had gone on their way. There was his blessed mother, and he had to say to John, the one disciple who was still around anyway, take her home, John. Don't you understand what torture that poor heart is going through? Once she bore me, take her home. So there's no question that as we really take a look at this Holy Week and what went on in Jesus' life, that there was truly a broken heart. Now today, I'd like to visit with you a little bit about the physical pain that Jesus Christ went through. And I turn to the Gospel of St. Mark. You know, they say that Mark's Gospel came from Peter's preaching notes. They were very close. And so after many years, Mark sat down and wrote a gospel, and he had all of those good notes that came from Peter's preaching. I assume that that is correct because it pretty much has the stamp of approval by some great biblical experts. If we turn in Mark's gospel to the 15th chapter, we have this verse 15. Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. Isn't that interesting? Purely for political reasons, Pilate had Jesus crucified, as far as he was concerned. We know it's a part of the eternal plan of God. But as far as the human part is concerned, it was politics. He says right here, Pilate, anxious to satisfy all of these rebellious people. And so if flogging Jesus would help and sending him to the cross would help even more, then go ahead and do it. We certainly see then, and we see it today, and we read about it in our morning newspapers, politics can do some vicious things. It will stop at nothing, especially if your cause is being benefited. So then they had Jesus. Pilate had turned him over, and they were on their way out to Golgotha. That was the hill where Jesus Christ was going to be crucified. There was a certain man from Cyrene, Mark says in his gospel, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. So they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. And then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. Another gospel writer says, I think Mark does too, that later they had a written notice put on the cross. The King of the Jews. They placed a crown of thorns on his head, and the blood moved down his face. They hurled insults at him. And then finally, at noon, according to Mark's gospel, with a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last, and it was finished. Jesus' work was finished here on this earth, as far as doing that which God had sent him to do to atone for the sins of the world. Now we may ask the question, why did he die? What is the reason for it? Why would he give in to something like this, being a human being also? 61 years ago today, in the city of Flossenbürg, Germany, in a concentration camp, a 39-year-old theologian by the name of Dietrich Bonhoeffer was killed. Why did Bonhoeffer die? He died for his conviction. He had joined a group of people who felt that Adolf Hitler was evil, and so they had to get rid of him, and they had a plot to kill him. When the plot was discovered, it was necessary, as far as the Nazis were concerned, that Bonhoeffer and the others with him should die. So that's what happened. Now, that's what you would call dying for your conviction. You're convinced that this man can do no good for the land that you loved, that he had led the people astray, and that he had to go. And we honor him, praise him for that great courage, and we pray that God would raise up many more to have that love for the Lord Jesus, the gospel, and what is right and what is wrong. But my friend, I use this illustration simply to say that Jesus was not Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And Bonhoeffer would be the first one to say that Jesus was not dying for his conviction. Jesus was dying to pay the price for our sins. And here this statement comes that I use as a promo this week. In order that I might be his own, Jesus had said, I have come not to rectify sinful man by my example, but I have come to redeem them by my blood. And that pretty much tells it all. Jesus was not dying for his convictions. I want to be very repetitious. He was dying to pay the price for our sins. Martin Luther has said it so well, and I quote this to you quite often. In the meaning to that second article, he died in order that I might be his own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting innocence, righteousness, and blessedness. That's why Jesus died. But let's turn now to the letter of Peter in the back of your Bible, 1 Peter chapter 2. This was written about 30 years after Jesus' crucifixion. And Peter had had a long time to think about it. He was sitting there in Rome. He was going to die as a martyr. He was going to die because of his conviction. He was going to die because of his now faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a message to tell, and he was not going to let anybody stop him from telling it. And so he says here in this letter, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we may die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. That's what Peter is saying to his friends. You want to know why Jesus died? He died in order that he might be able to atone for your sin. Jesus is the sin bearer. He has taken all of our sins upon him. Regardless of whether we view it this way or not, people, sin is very serious. It's a burden. And it's a burden that you and I have in our whole being. What actually happens when Jesus dies is that the sin is transferred from us to him. Either I have to pay for my sin, or someone who is sinless has to pay the price for me. Because God is not going to condone sin. He is a righteous God, and he can have nothing to do with sin. And while we are blotted with sin, God cannot have anything to do with us. That sin has got to be taken away. And according to the Bible, the only way that it can be taken from you and me is through Jesus Christ. It is called the vicarious atonement. We sing about it in some of our great hymns. I lay my sins on Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God. That's the vicarious atonement. Jesus dying in my place. How important that is for us to remember that. That's why he's come. And that is why I believe that Lent is so terribly important. This should be preached every Sunday. I don't mean it should be just for Lenten Sundays. It should be the very tone of our whole message at all times. But it is important, I believe, and therein I love the church calendar, where we take aside 7 Sundays and really put our emphasis on the suffering and the death and the resurrection of Jesus, because we can soon forget about it. We have a world that has soon forgotten about it. They remember Jesus, most of them. They know that he has done some great things. Perhaps he's often quoted. But how often do you find him quoted as the one who takes away the sins of the world? Well, friend, that's why he died. Now then, Peter goes on to say that because we have been redeemed by his wounds and he has healed us from our spiritual transgressions, you who were like sheep going astray have now been returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your soul. I am the shepherd, Jesus said, and the cross is what I had to endure to bring the sheep back home. Isn't that a great picture of our society? In every age, certainly is true today. It's been true all through history. The human being who has been born in sin and lives in sin is like a flock of sheep. They know not which way to turn. They have no answers for some of the most important questions that confront them. Isn't this a picture that it is not socially acceptable to talk too much about Christ dying? To say that this is the only way that we can be assured of a home in heaven. And people say, well, there's got to be something else to talk about, hasn't there? Isn't it important that we center on the core Sunday after Sunday after Sunday? A few days ago, I was listening to a very interesting television program, which I appreciated a great deal. I thought the people who were there handled themselves well. I'm not going to use the name, but perhaps some of you will recognize it, the case. The person had died in her mid-40s, and evidently she had been a great inspiration to her family, and certainly to her friends, and the profession of which she was a part. So they had set aside some time in one of the television programs and were eulogizing this person and talking about her death and how beautifully, if you can use that word, she was able to deal with it. Among the speakers, however, there was one who said, "It's tragic," and I certainly would agree, to see a young person in 40 years of age or just a little bit better having to die, that's really tragic. And he said, we've got to do something about this in the United States of America. Now, right here, friend, is a very interesting statement. We've got to do something about cancer. Who wouldn't agree? We send in our checks to the Cancer Society. I hope you do. I think that's important for us to do as Christian citizens, trying to get the best of this disease so that people don't have to die there as they do. But the point is that we're people who have been born to die. Do we understand that? We've been born to die. And if we don't die from cancer, and that doesn't mean we shouldn't try to conquer it, I'm all for it, do everything we can, there will be something else that will kill us. Now we are confronted with this terrible, terrible disease of Alzheimer's. We live, our hearts beat, we walk around, but we either don't know our loved ones or we don't know what's going on in our lives. That's who we are. We're mortal while we're here. But God has provided something better for us when we're out of here. And in this television program to which I have referred, there was a lady who I'm sure was a Christian, but she, I think, had been either coached in this case or coached earlier so that she knew where she stood. She said to the people, "You have to realize that this life was cut short, but there is something after death." Why couldn't she say? And I know that I really believe that she is of that persuasion, that we have a heavenly home, and there will be no more suffering, and there will be no more death. And we'll be at home with the Lord Jesus forever. What that home is like, we're not quite sure of, but we know that it's to be with Jesus. And there will be no 40-year-olds dying. That's just the way it is. But on the other side, why couldn't she say, "Jesus did it all"? Jesus at the cross of Calvary. She could have said, "In just a few days, we're going to celebrate the crucifixion, but celebrate the resurrection, which gives the promise of victory over sin, death, and the devil." Why? Because in our society, it is not good protocol to be offensive to some of those who are not Christians. So we just have to stand there as if we had no message. Well, today, friend, we are reminded in the scriptures that we are like sheep who have gone astray, but we can be brought back into the fold. We can be his. We can be his forever. And that comes through that suffering and that death that Pilate authorized politically and the people carried out amidst the cries of, "Crucify him, crucify him." Why did Jesus die? Jesus died to forgive your sins and to forgive my sins and to forgive the sins of the whole world if they will but come in repentance and receive him as their Savior and their Lord. That's the story of this week. Do you know him, friend? Do you really know him? Have you confessed him? Have you, empowered by the Holy Spirit, invited him into your heart? Do you know that when you leave this world, you can go home and be with the Lord? Do you live with that assurance? And if you do, you must know some people who don't. So why don't you go to them and tell them the grand old story? There's never a better week to do it than in the Holy Week. And there's never a more victorious message than the one that we will celebrate next week when we talk not about his crucifixion, but about his resurrection. Amen. Thank you. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you that we can not only sing, but believe this, that our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We know, O God, we know well what you have done for us intellectually. Make us, O God, able to comprehend it by the power of your Holy Spirit, that it may free us up to speak kindly and lovingly of that wonderful Savior. In this holy time of the year, where it is especially easy to bear witness to you, grant that our voices may be vocal and that we may point men and women to Jesus Christ. So hear us as together we pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. May today's gospel message give you a strong foundation for the week ahead. Currently, Christian Crusaders is heard not only on 17 radio stations across the United States, but also on shortwave across North America and Europe. This week, we encourage those who are listening to our worship service on shortwave radio to drop us a line, letting us know in which part of the world you're able to hear us. You can listen to or read today's service and past sermons anytime on the internet. Hundreds of Christian Crusaders sermons are listed by date and subject matter. Our website also has many spiritual helps, including a daily devotion and Bible study helps. Simply log on to ChristianCrusaders.org, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, T.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-693-2484 or 1-888-MY-FAITH. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now celebrating 70 years of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.